Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Every rose has its thorn. Every rose. I'm gonna make this short and sweet.
I'm Terry.
I'm Lara.
And this
you're listening to Sexy,
Unique
Podcast. Insatiable
Bitch
Goddesses.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right off the bat, I need to talk about something.
What?
Well, congrats. We're living in a post-Trump world.
TBD.
But
let's not get ahead of ourselves, but also like congrats to the team.
Congrats to all of, I hope everyone had a good day celebrating on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
I want to celebrate something that I found. I came across, so I'm watching, I'm in a deep Sex in the City, like I'm on season 5.
This is huge. This is huge.
I'm in Carrie's short hair phase. And
a loss for Sex in the City fans everywhere.
Yeah.
The time between season 4 and 5 where someone decided that Sarah Jessica Parker really needed a haircut and ruined. That was not okay.
I think she was like, I want to... something kind of flappery or 20s even.
But I also remember thinking when Sex in the City was airing, like, and when I was catching up on everything, like post boarding school, doing like a lonely binge, that her hair in Atlantic City was like the chicest look I'd ever seen. And that's when it actually was its most clown-like.
I love the Atlantic City episode, and I'm excited for it.
It's such a good one, but that hair and makeup is truly garish, and I remember being like, if only I could do this, if only I had that kind of hair.
They also, I realized, and I'm only on, I think, 2 or 3 episodes into season 5, but...
Did you start at the beginning, and you've just been zooming?
Simon started from the very beginning, and I joined him in season 2, but I think they took the hint that maybe Carrie was like coming off as like truly unlikable and like narcissistic. So she seems like a better friend in season 5 than she had been.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting. You can tell, like, the writers were probably like, shit. The season 4 finale, I Heart New York, where Mr. Big leaves and they go on like a carriage ride together and like Miranda has her baby. Mm-hmm. Such a good episode. But also at the end, it's like, I think it came out right after 9/11 happened or something, but it was like
season 5. I think the whole season came out post 9/11.
Right. Season 4, I think they'd filmed still.
Yeah. Season 4 anyway, was pre, and then season 5 was post.
But at the end, there was a little note, and it was like, to our beloved New York or something. And it was clearly like a reference to 9/11. And then I Googled Mr. Big theories on why he left. And I found this Reddit theory about that Mr. Big left to move to Napa because he was so disillusioned with the world and like destroyed by 9/11 emotionally, because like he works in finance, that he like had to leave. And there are all these theories that like the episode was like, he was like, I hate the old New York, or like all this shit, and like just needing a new, because he was so traumatized by 9/11.
I fully have chills. I believe that is exactly why he left. That has to be. There's no other reason.
But I was like, oh, that's an interesting theory. And then I read the comments that were like, no, this episode was written like a year before 9/11 happened.
Hmm.
But
well, way to take the wind out of my sails.
But in the timeline, we can pretend that that's why it happened.
I think that that's like a really like psychic divination, and mm-hmm. that is actually why it happened.
It's interesting that they just kind of, and I think it was definitely a choice, and I think it was actually a good choice in the end, but how they just kind of glossed over 9/11 in New York and Sex and the City.
They did take the Twin Towers out of the opening credits.
They did, but how
and
they
that
just
was the they just but they never addressed 9/11. They were
I
a bit 9/11 deniers.
That episode of them talking about it.
I want it.
She would have had. I mean, what a column she would have written.
I need like that episode of Sex and the City.
I know I've taken it to a place of 9/11, but
had to do it. And also like
that theory. And then I posted it on Instagram and people I think thought I wrote it.
That would be king shit if you came up with that. King shit. But unfortunately it's just some like random. But if you listen to this podcast and you are the originator of the big Exodus 9/11 theory heard around the globe, yeah. Identify yourself for the love of God.
For the love of God. I just have to read a part of it.
Please. I think that like Carrie's haircut and 9/11 happening in the same year are not a coincidence. And that's my truth.
She had like a trauma response to that day by just cutting all her hair off.
Mm-hmm. And like the Twin Towers are representative of like Carrie's luscious locks.
Mm-hmm.
He is literally
moving to the other side of the country, the kind of decision made by someone who is trying to get as far away from a bad time as possible. And he's investing in a winery, the kind of decision made by someone possibly who had a near-death experience. And life is too short moment. Also, his response to Carrie saying, I'm tired of old New York, is very much in his character, to save face from inner emotion and uphold the suave, powerful, big man image. Parentheses, it's also within Carrie's character to only think of herself and others' problems. True. So here we see her take his trauma as her own issue.
Yes, so that's actually the part that sold me.
And now Mr. Big, a businessman, is leaving Manhattan. Coincidence? Question mark. I think not. Thoughts?
Love thoughts? I have a lot of thoughts, which is that this person's a fucking genius.
Samantha would have been directly affected by it because she lived downtown.
Mm-hmm. Samantha bounced back stronger than ever, and honestly was able to leave Richard, I think, once and for all because of 9/11. She realized life is too short.
Mm-hmm.
like, yes, she, her like run up the stairs in a pearl thong in Atlantic City was painful and a reminder of like how she's going out of her way to like try and keep tabs on her man. But I think ultimately, without 9/11, she might have fucked around with Richard for longer.
Yeah. Richard's hot.
Charlotte, when did she and Trey like finally get divorced?
Season 4.
Like the end of season 4.
Yeah, they do that like town and country photo shoot.
And then in season 5 she meets Harry. So I think 9/11 opened up Charlotte's heart.
I just finished the episode when they're at that like snake oil saleswoman, her like affirmations class that she's teaching, and then Charlotte's like, I feel like I'm running out of like hope for love or something. And then she's like, maybe you have to put yourself out there more. And then Carrie gets on the microphone and goes, she's putting herself out there.
Yeah.
That was actually a great Carrie moment.
Carrie had her friends backs after 9/11, but then she gave it a year and then it was time to go to Paris.
Yeah.
She was like, actually, like, I need to leave you guys for no good reason and leave my job for also no good reason and any source of income and independence and stability and go to Paris.
Well, they open the season premiere when they go to that Fleet Week party and Carrie's like walking around and there's Parisian music playing in the beginning. Paris was on the horizon.
Yeah.
Also, they did a change with the music where it went from like just simple like to like kind of corny, like someone who did the soundtrack. Have you noticed? Did you notice that? Like the music got a little like
it got more, like, way speaking. More like it got more like Sex in the City 2 opening music.
Yeah. No. It got more like do 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 like.
Like the background music on the show?
Yeah. Like the not, like soundtrack. Or
the theme. Like oh, okay. Some of
the score got like, they did an upgrade, but weirdly it feels more corny and low budget. It was very strange.
Interesting. Like Housewives music.
Yeah, just like Carrie like trying to get into the Guggenheim in the rain. You hear like, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo, and she's like, oh.
Oh, I loved that whole scene where New York turns on her and blows her skirt up, embarrassing.
Oh.
When she, yeah. I wish I could do the Carrie high-pitched squeal. Because SJP really has like cornered the market on a high squeal.
Speaking of high squeals, guys, we're down to the final four on Rock of Love.
Damn. This has gone by both quickly and slowly, and now we're in a position of two against two.
Yeah.
Lacey and Heather versus Jess and Brandy.
And we get right off. They wake up and they're all like milling around. Jess and Brandy are steaming cigs at like 8 a.m. on the back porch.
I wrote that the house might be starting to smell a little bit better now that there's only 4 people instead of 10. Like, I'm sure there's pockets of like stink that have lingered, but I feel like on the whole, it's like aired out a little bit more.
Yeah. Brandy and or Heather and Lacey are like, we have to take these girls down. And they decide to go for Brandy first.
Mm-hmm. Easy target. Like, Brandy easy target. Seems she's so young. I think that she is easy to like game and then eliminate.
They know that Jess is going to be a harder nut to crack.
Jess is proving herself to be like a warrior.
But also,
Jess
is also really winning?
No one's winning in this. This episode proves that everyone loses in the Rock of Love house. But also, like, Jess is being slowly indoctrinated into her own sex cult. Like, she's now drinking the Kool-Aid and is like in
the Vanguard.
Vanguard, like, literally 2 women get Vanguard. Sex trafficked in this episode. I feel like we need to just put that out there.
Yeah.
They have been sex trafficked across state lines on a tour bus and then given to Brett.
Can we talk about how the competition in this episode was to watch Brett perform and then fuck him?
Yeah.
That's basically what, like, you were competing to fuck Brett.
And then if you fucked Brett, you definitely, like, would get a pass.
And
that's sex trafficking. I'm sorry, but it is.
He would fuck you and then send you home.
Yeah. Like, you don't even get a spa day afterwards, which yeah, that was my biggest beef. I was like,
Jess was like, I was a little bummed to be leaving, but I thought, well, I actually won. And I was like, no, girl, you didn't win.
No, when you're getting sent back to a Cheeto dust fart den after slobbing on some old knob for like all night, you have lost. When you're not getting like room service and an upgraded solo suite and then like a day of shopping and spa in Vegas, that's a win. But like, you have like unequivocally lost. But you think you've won, and that means you've actually been seduced. Next,
she was like, Brett and I really got to know each other intimately, physically, sexually. I was like, ugh! My throat closed up.
I'm that meme of that white guy blinking. Brett definitely has strep dick.
Strep dick.
Yeah.
So they go, well, okay, so back at the house, Big John comes in and then he tells them all that they're going to Vegas.
Which, like,
to watch Brett perform at a casino, and like,
he has a gig in Sin City. And I was like, this is going to be budget as hell. And sure enough, Lacey's back in pigtails channeling her demonic Polly Poirette truth.
Brandy and Heather are so relieved to be going back to Vegas.
Heather thrives in Vegas, and truly, the way Heather does Vegas is the way I would do Vegas, which is care about eating only.
Yeah, eating.
Eat only nursing, and lay by the pool.
Nursing cocktails, not getting so drunk where you're incapacitated, but just like
getting a buzz, not getting wasted. Yeah.
So they're going to take a tour. They're going to take a big tour bus with Brett from LA to Vegas, and they get to the tour bus.
Why are they taking a bus and not like a private plane?
I know
they're literally on a bus with a sad Ralph's sandwich plate.
I said, this is their idea of heaven, and I made a sad face. Like, he was like, this is a tour bus, girls, a Gibson classic. And I was just like, oh, it looks like one of those like Cruise America RVs that you see.
Yeah. Like, is it really that much cheaper? I guess it probably is cheaper to rent the bus and like drive it to Vegas for a night than get the plane. But like,
you've shelled out
the plane.
Can you have shelled out, like, pooled your resources for a rental plane? But I guess they're trying to get them used to like the tour bus life.
Yeah, which like, tour buses aren't the worst. They're kind of fun, but it's also just like,
it was my hell. The sandwiches.
A daytime tour bus ride in the hot desert with like a bad sandwich plate. You know that they're like kind of soggy on the bottom, and like, it's like a white bread sandwich and like a cheese plate of like cubed cheese, which can sometimes be good, but then most of the time it's like pretty bad.
No, I don't want to have gas on a bus.
I don't want to get onto a bus and smell a grocery store cheese plate and then sit on a hot desert bus ride with a vodka crayon for 5.5 hours to Vegas. It's a hot ride.
For anyone who's never done it, the LA to Vegas ride, like, you drive by like a solar panel farm with like blinding like hot panels.
It has like hot panels and mirrors meant to reflect sunlight back onto the panels for extra solar power that like blind you when you walk by, when you drive by. There's a huge hill that someone's always broken down on because like their car couldn't go up the hot desert hill. And it's also ugly as fuck.
It's like, and there's a scary casino with like that looks like a big barn and has roller coasters outside of it.
Yeah, there was like inexplicable smoke coming from near that casino that my sister and I were trying to like figure out, because when we were driving on our road trip back from like Colorado, we drove through Barstow and did like the Vegas back to LA drive, and we were just like, what is happening out here? And then we were stuck on the highway in like 45 minutes just like turtle speed traffic next to a huge semi truck transporting bees. We were like, why are there so many bees around? And then we looked to the right and there was a huge truck filled with bees.
Fuck.
It was really crazy.
Jess is fully sitting on Brett's lap.
Jess is in. Like, she's like girlfriend. Allie Mac. Yeah, she's in.
I wrote, what if their bus broke down and they had like a Hills Have Eyes situation?
Heather would win. She'd come out. Like, Heather would go through.
I think Jess and Heather would win.
Yeah, I don't. I think Jess could because she's so athletic. Like, they're definitely the most athletic. I feel like Heather would like get an arm cut off and then have to like fashion on like a chainsaw arm, like Mad Max style or something, or like put like a wrench on her arm, or like she would have to do some body modification.
Or Heather would just use her arm as like a sword.
Mm-hmm. Heather would tie off her stump and then like tie, like pound nails through her arm that got cut off, and then start like beating people with them.
Wait, Heather's like hanging out with Taylor Armstrong.
I know. Heather's killing it down in like,
she's planning something
SoCal.
Down in
SoCal. Yeah, down in Huntington Beach or wherever the hell she may be.
I wrote, no, exclamation point, Brett has them staying at the Red Rock Casino. It's like 18 miles away from the Strip. I looked it up. It's like a 20-minute drive from the Vegas Strip.
Yeah, it's next to like a pile of dirt. I was like, where is this? They showed like an establishing shot later in the episode of like what you see when you look out the windows of the gorgeous Red Rock Casino, and it was just like dirt.
Yeah, I've seen it. Alexis Bellino stayed there from Real Housewives of OC with her husband, and I was like, where the fuck is this place?
It's nowhere you want to end up. It's no. That. And Brett Michaels goes, they haven't seen Brett Michaels the rock star yet. I think they have. They've seen enough.
That's nothing like one of those casino shows point, that you see ads for not, on like billboards.
Like, I feel like it's not even that. I feel like it's like not even in big enough of a space. Like there are maybe 100 to 300 people there.
It's not Morongo.
It's no Morongo. It's certainly
I saw Sergey in Atlantic City at the Borgata. Fergie in 2007.
Sergey is literally the Russian version of Fergie.
Sergey.
I saw Sergey.
She sings with such hits as My Humps. My Humps.
Sergey is playing Atlantic City tonight.
Sergey is playing Atlantic City. We're all going down to Atlantic City to watch Sergey play. She's performing her greatest hits.
Do you remember Euros of Hollywood? Did you ever watch that show on Bravo?
No.
It was a very short-lived one-season show about like Euros that live in Hollywood and are just like true Euro trash. And it's actually amazing, but there was
one. Should we watch it?
We might need to watch it because it truly, like, they're bringing, like, new levels. And it actually really opened up my eyes to a world that I was not clear on, like, didn't know really existed, but is, like, there's a whole faction of, like, of Euros in Hollywood.
Yeah.
But there was one woman who wanted to be a pop star and, like, that was her whole goal. Let me remember her name.
Sergey.
She called herself the Madonna of Albania, and her name was Bliona. And Bliona, and I actually went to see Bliona perform at like a club on La Cienega. I got obsessed with Bliona, and then friend of the pod Tim Halen and I went and just like fully Bliona'd our pants.
You're wild. I love your like LA. You always have like an LA story up your sleeve.
I always am like get too obsessed with like reality characters and then get way too close. I get closer comfort, but sometimes it's backfired on me. And those who know know. Sergey.
Bliona.
I love the Madonna of Albania.
Wow.
Yeah, I would highly recommend anyone looking for like a binge moment, an easy binge, Euros of Hollywood. It's truly a what?
Damn.
Bliona.
She's fucking hot as shit, too. She looks like Monica Bellucci.
But yeah, I saw Fergie at the casino, and it was amazing, and she did a backflip on stage.
Huge.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
But yeah, Brett's ready to go. They get to the casino and he's like, He's like, all right, girls. He's like, I got to do a sound check, so I'm going to leave you here, but they're going to take care of all your luggage. And then Brandy's like, she's like, oh, I think it's so incredibly sexy that Brett just left us here, and I think it's amazing.
Brett has to rush off to his sound check, and that's so rock star of him. That's so sexy. Like, I was like, honey, that's like, okay.
Yeah, the bar is low.
She's glamored by Red Rock, and she's young,
too. Oh, yeah.
How old is she? She's, like, in her early 20s.
She's got to be, like, 22.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Jess is 23.
Mm-hmm. They're young.
But I think also they've been so sequestered in this, like, fart house for, like, a month that, like, they're just so happy to be out in another state.
Yeah. So VH1, just for the record, has packed these girls in a bus and then trafficked them across state lines. And they are now in Nevada. Just want you guys to know as we delve further and deeper into this episode.
So they go into their suite, which is like, I'm sorry, it's not cute.
No, this hotel is psychotic. Why is it like mod and red on the inside? Why brown. Is it like a fucking Courtyard Marriott on the outside and like a mod red, like Star Trek theme on the inside? I don't trust it at all.
And like brown, like it's like auburn.
Yeah, I hate it. And then Big John gives them a rundown after they've been trafficked to Nevada. And he says, you're going to watch Brett perform. Then you will have dinner with him in his hotel room, and then he will choose one person to stay behind for a nightcap. So, like, he will choose one of you to basically fuck later.
And they all get, like, I think you can tell they're all a little nervous about it. Not Heather, but, like, the rest of them are, like, a little, like, ooh.
I would be like, I don't want to be alone in someone's hotel. Like, then you have to, like, this is sex trafficking.
It was cringing so hard watching this, and it was, I've never seen anything like that, where it was just so, like, sometimes, usually they like,
on Flavor of Love, they do it on Flavor of Love, too. All these, like, of love shows, I can't speak for, like, the ones centered around, like, a female who men are competing for, but, like, I can speak to Flavor of Love because I'm watching it now, but there's, like, sex trafficking happening in that show as well.
Well, on The Bachelor, I mean, when he has his, like,
the fantasy
suites night, where he's, like, three nights of him just, like, nonstop fucking all of the women, and they're, like,
and that's Finland. International sex trafficking. That's Jeffrey Epstein level. ABC takes it to new dimensions.
Yeah, The Bachelor will be, like, in the morning after fucking someone, he's like, okay, gotta go. And you're like, ew, he's now gonna go put his penis inside someone else.
Yeah.
Who's in another, like, Finnish yurt.
And then he's going to decide who he liked fucking better and then eliminate the person that he didn't like fucking the most.
Yeah.
And maybe that's me.
And that person's going to know that it's because she was not good at, or he didn't think she was as good at fucking as the other woman.
He didn't like the feel of your puss. So now get back on the jet and get out of here.
Get out.
This is crazy. Like, this is actually insane.
So then they all start getting ready. They're all like, Brandy's like drinking a cocktail. She's drinking like a vodka Red Bull in the bath. And then Lacey and Heather are taking a bubble bath together.
Then and, Heather like, planning. Gets into pigtails.
Yeah. And they're Heather is like kind of, and Lacey are sort of like black swanning each other.
They really are like, they're doing something really weird. They're like trading souls like back and forth. And then Heather fully, like, she assumes her true final form as like Jenny from the Block. It's like a full J-Lo cosplay that she does on dates.
It is.
I love it. Brandy chugging Red Bull vodka. And she goes, once I had some Red Bull and vodka in me, it's great.
Yeah.
She's pre-gaming.
Jess is going full Yu-Gi-Oh!
Jess goes Sonic the Damn Hedgehog. Like, we see piece by piece her spraying her Yu-Gi-Oh wig into fucking, it's never been spikier than this moment.
So Jess and, or Heather and Lacey have decided to like fully tag team and get Brandy like blackout naked wasted.
I think also just back to Jess really quick. the Yu-Gi-Oh hair theory is proven very true again, because she, I think it's when she feels most insecure is when her hair gets its fullest and spikiest. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of this episode, when she's back to feeling like totally secure and knows she's going to get the pass, it's smoothed down again.
You're totally right.
It's like it's her armor that she puts on to shield herself from insecurity.
But Yu-Gi-Oh is like, my goal is, she's like, I'm not going to get wasted tonight. Like, I'm going to just like take it easy and like just have a few drinks. But like, she's not going to like go ham, as Brandy is like obviously going already.
When you're taking a hot like, bath, drinking Red Bull and vodka, like you're prepping yourself for a blackout.
Yeah. Brandy's like, you can just tell. I mean, I don't blame her. She's like, I think she's actually like uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable. And then also it's like, this is like, a young girl having like a fun night out, but also yeah. It's like you're putting this 22-year-old or whatever, however old she is, like in around situations that she might feel like she needs to prove herself. Like, you leave them around like your bandmates and stuff like that. Like,
yeah, we'll get
there.
They're right off stage, right in the front, and all they're gonna do is just like sing along kind of and like bop around to Brett's performing, and Brett, I'm sorry, looks insane on stage.
Brett, his tank top is repellent.
He looks terrible.
He does not have the arms or upper body for a tank top. I'm sorry, but it's true.
I'm just like, all these women could do so much better.
This is giving me Nexium vibes, where like everyone has to come out and like watch Vanguard play volleyball, and this mm-hmm. is that.
Or in Holy Hell when they watch the guy do ballet.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that kind of shit.
They have to writhe on the side of the stage. They're practically on the stage in like the wide shots. They're like literally Yu-Gi-Oh's hair can't miss, and then Heather also just like wilding out.
You know that they were like, hey, want to see Bret Michaels, to like a bunch of people in the casino? And they were like, sure.
Yeah. This also just has like MAGA rally vibes.
It did. Brandy's blackout. She starts, Bret's like, I'm going to play you a song I've never played anyone on earth before. It's a new song. And he starts playing it. And then Brandy starts mouthing the words along, like as if she's heard it before. And I was like, oh my God, she's so drunk.
She's drunk. She looks hot as shit, though.
She's like in the back. Jess and Lacey are like really like going for it in the front, and then Brandy's just sitting in the back drinking, just like bobbing her head
trying to sing along. Yeah
Jess is wearing like a midriff vest.
She loves like a jeans going out vest.
She's wearing those like, what are those, like super pointy heels,
like a pointy toed pump.
Yeah, she's wearing like pointy-toed pump bootcut jeans and like a vest that comes like up to like her ribs.
What I would wear going out in like 2004. I loved a pointy-toed pump from Nine West. I had a pair of black ones and a pair of silver ones, and I had put those with a flare and a little going out top from Urban Outfitters that was like tight around the waist but like loose like around the tits, and I would truly drink until I fell off a bar stool and think that I was like the hottest person that ever lived.
I love that. So the set ends, and then they go backstage.
Mercifully ends.
And they go, Brett's band wants to do shots with them, and they get them basically just like, or the producers were like, just go in there and get them wasted. So they go in and they like make them take like Jaeger shots.
I wouldn't say anyone made Lacey chug Jaeger. She seemed to do that of her own volition.
That's true.
Jaeger also is the devil's juice. It tastes like black licorice. I have not had Jaeger since pre-boarding school days. And Jaeger, that's when I learned several terrible lessons from Jaeger and had to sign off.
It's not good.
And so seeing Lacey chug it was both triggering and also was the perfect match.
Yeah. And Brett is still, he's like taking a while to get all his, like, I don't know what he's doing, some kind of like fan meet and greet or something.
he has to also go shower. And, like, basically they're told to just, like, hang with the band members until they're called to, like, go to dinner. Like, a bunch of courtesans.
So they get Lacey and Brandy are just the drunkest. Heather and Jess are playing it cool.
Lacey's on the floor.
Lacey's on the floor at one point. She and Brandy kind of start getting, like, aggressive and into it with each other. And at one point, Lacey looks up at Jess and she goes, "You're fucked up." And Jess is, by the way, holding two lit cigs in each hand. And she goes, "I'm not the one that's fucked up and on the floor right now."
I love it.
It's like, true.
Lacey tries to accuse Brandy of, like, giving Heather a bad look. And then she tries to do the Dallas, like,
yeah,
method where she just goes and gets in your face and, like, hopes that you throw a punch at her. She comes over to Brandy to confront her about her dirty look, and Brandy turns and farts on her.
Brandy also
that was
incredible.
Yeah,
she also said that Lacey has bad breath.
You know, Lacey's breath smells like a dead person, a corpse breath.
She has total halitosis.
Mm-hmm.
And Brandy's like, "I'm not going to let you do what you did to Dallas to me."
Yeah, Brandy knows exactly what Lacey's trying to do. And then Lacey also pours vodka on Brandy. That would send me.
Me too. She's trying really hard. I think they're just both dealing with Stockholm Syndrome.
Yeah, Brandy's also like, I admire her chill about all of this.
Yeah.
And Lacey's like
out of control. At one point, she tells everyone to hang themselves. She goes, "Every one of you, hang yourselves." And then Big John comes in. She's on the floor.
She's on the floor. Right. Her fishnets are ripped. She's basically like has her legs just spread wide apart and her like fucking crotch is out to the world. And she's just sitting there like Ferruja Balk in the end of The Craft, like cackling and slurring at everyone and accusing them of things.
And she's just blathering away. And then Big John goes, "Lacey, shut the fuck up." And I was like, oh my God. Jesus. So they get her up off the floor. Then you see the clock. It's 5:55 p.m.
No! When was this concert? At like 3?
I think it was like an early bird special.
I'm sorry, that is not right.
I was like, is it 11:30? And then I was like, no, the big hand, the long one's on 55 and the short one's on 6. I was like, it's 5:55. Vegas time, baby.
So blammo at 6 p.m. that you.
But have that actually tracks for Vegas, right? Because it's like
time is a vacuum in old Vegas.
So they make them walk through the casino. Lacey has it's like they're doing a conga line,
hanging off of Big John, like has her arms around him, can barely walk, like dragging her feet across the casino, and Brandy sidebars with Heather, and then she's like, "This threw you on the bus." And Heather's like, what? And Brandy's like, "Yeah," she said, "fuck all these bitches and fuck Heather too." And then Heather's look of betrayal like was so weird. Heather stops in her tracks and is like, and like can't believe it.
And then you realize like Heather was way more invested in the Lacey alliance than the Lacey was with Heather.
They bathed together.
Did they have a relationship?
They might have fingered each other at one point.
But yeah, I think Heather's just one of those people. It's like, she'll be loyal to you, but if you cross her at all, like,
it's done.
You're done.
Yeah.
It's done. I just wrote, oh my God, Lacey's demise. But not really. They get to Brett's hotel room and they go to the bar and Lacey's just like crawling around on the bar and Jess is going, "You're being disrespectful to Brett's room right now." And then Lacey lowers herself, her eyes like downcast, and she goes, "Really? Really? Really?" And I was like, she goes, "Get off the bar or what?
Or what?
Get off the bar or what? Or what?"
Then falls off the... There's also a bartender just standing there behind her, like, Fuck being disrespectful to Brett. It's like disrespectful to this man who's trying to just serve you ladies some drinks, and your literal ass is like in his face as you crawl around threatening people.
Yeah.
And then she loses her footing, which is difficult to do when you're on your knees, but she manages to slide off, fall into several bottles, knock them all over, and then the bartender has to like grab her and like lower her down to the floor gently. And then she's walked over to the table and they're like, Lacey, just come over here and like sit down at the table. And she goes, fine, and sits down and just breaks a glass next to her.
And then Brett comes in and they gather around his dinner table where all the, and he tells them all to shut the fuck up.
He's and I was done. Like, oh my He's God, over that's, it.
But I was like, that's their future. When you date Brett, it's like him telling you to shut the fuck up.
It's him.
Sounds like a really great time.
If you can like control yourself around other men, you know that he's like pissed that they like had fun with the bandmates too.
Oh,
like it's totally. All everything's a test. And then he tells you to shut the fuck up when he's annoyed. Also, I have a theory that he wasn't happy with like this performance because they got to Vegas and then he's like, I really need to go have a sound check right now, which makes me feel like this wasn't very planned out. And then he had like a quick performance without like the sound check protocol that he's used to. So he's probably kind of
out of water.
Mm-hmm.
Lacey, I think, throws up at one point.
I think she just leans over and throws up on the floor while they're all at the table.
And Jess is actually trying to help her and like clean her up.
Yeah, Jess like
Jess goes into that. There's always that one person who like
who's like the helper.
But they get like too like it's like, you know, when a parent when a young parent's with their kid on like a plane and they're like they're my mom calls them narrator parents.
Mm-hmm.
When they're just like saying out loud so everyone can hear like what their kid is doing. Oh, you're playing with your color book right now? Okay. Like my mom always says the narrator. She's like enough of the narration.
That's a really good read.
But people who like tend to the drunk person, they're like, Okay, we're gonna go over here now, okay? And it's like it's nice, but like you're getting a little too into this, I think.
Yeah, it's like codependent behavior.
Yeah.
I'd be like a Heather in that situation and just let a drunk bitch just bury herself. Also,
Heather's is kind of like, I'm letting Heather's Lacey unfazed. Fuck me over, so I'm she's screwed.
I live for someone vomiting on the floor next to where you're eating and being seafood. So unbothered that you just continue to eat your seafood platter.
Seafood.
They have a full seafood platter of oyster, like a raw bar, essentially. Which like I love, but
me
not
too,
when,
but
like
not when someone
not when people are actively like vomiting and excreting less than 6 feet away.
Yeah, Lacey's like projectile vomiting like black bile
Jaeger puked on the ground, and your first thought was like, I gotta get more shrimp and some McPhew oysters down my gullet.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp? Or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered, mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine? That's where Canopy's new filtered shower head comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered showerhead. Dermatologists recommended this unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin. Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free. Installation is a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement, unlike any others on the market. Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, our listeners can use the code SEXYUNIQUE at checkout to save an additional 10% off their Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
So Lacey gets taken back. I think Big John takes her back to put her to bed. By the way, it's like
Yeah.
Carries her home.
then Heather just turns her sights on Brandy.
Brandy is like still not as drunk as Lacey, but still pretty fucked up. And Heather devises the most evil plan to just like start slurping oysters in front of her and like chowing down on like lobster, shrimp, like all the shellfish you can imagine, 2 inches away from Brandy's face. And Brandy starts retching.
Don't you want some? Don't you eat some shrimp? And Brandy's like, I don't think I can have any. I think it makes me feel sick. And then Heather exaggeratedly picks up oysters and starts going.
Mm. Yeah. it's like in Bridesmaids when Rose Byrne goes, I think you really need to throw up.
Mm-hmm.
She goes, I'm fine.
Why don't you eat the almond?
Joy almond.
Just eat it. It's so good. Brandy literally puts a napkin to her face and just vomits into her own hand, and it squirts out the side. Like, that vomit then, like, if someone did, I don't think I could eat if someone vomed into their napkin.
I think she also, like, shits.
Did she?
Well, Jess goes to help her, and she's like, it was coming out of both ends. So she like screaming eagle.
Wow. She had like alcohol. I mean, I think she does like her asshole's probably fairly just loose and like not. This is my reasoning. I think that it is plausible that she shit herself because she and like her I'm not saying this right, but she's so used to just farting freely that like she's just gonna have the kind of control over her
her sphincter is looser than most.
Yeah, like it's not even that it's loose, but it lets things through.
Right.
It lets things out a lot easier than like
her
would
system is very
out.
Regular.
Yeah, she's just like free flowing. Like if it's there, let it out. If it's there, let it air is like her philosophy. So like once she is like feeling explosive, it makes sense that it would just slip out without. And also when she's not in total control, like she's so drunk that like it would just slip out. I've never been so drunk that I shit myself.
No, me neither. I pissed myself a lot, but not
I pissed myself a lot, but not poop.
Brett goes and helps Brandy. Brett's like charmed by Brandy. Lacey Brett was like repulsed by, but
yeah,
Brandy, he's like kind of charmed by. And at one point he's holding her hair back as she pukes, and then she leans up and goes, I love you, Brett. And Brett's like, honestly, it was really amazing to hear that. He's like, she said one of the most moving things I've ever heard in my whole life. I was like, oh my God.
She goes, I love you and I'm willing to open my heart for you no matter what. I love shitting yourself and then being like, I will open my heart for you, Brett Michaels.
But Brett's into it.
He loves it. He likes Brandy.
He does. His wild thing.
his wild thing. And but what is also shocking is right after Lacey vomited on the floor, Brett, and she's carried out, and Brett sees her out and comes back, he goes, "All I want is shrimp." He's mad that like his shrimping was interrupted by like Lacey's shenanigans.
Don't come between Brett and his shellfish.
Don't
his prawns.
Come between him and his bottom feeding prawns.
So Brett comes back and it's just Heather and Jess, and Heather's like been like cool and collected, hasn't helped it. Jess has been like the den mom, and Heather's just sitting back slurping down her oysters.
Heather has not moved from her spot, and even when everyone gets up to tend to Brandy, Heather goes, "Oh my hell, rookies! I'm so
lightweight
bored."
Vegas, yeah. But she goes, "Oh, I'm so bored." She goes, "Lightweight like, Vegas." Shrimp.
Yeah, I mean, Heather's seen it all, and like, she just wants her shrimp too. And I was like, Heather's my fucking girl. Like,
yeah,
I might be able
to be eating at that house.
Yeah, I'm sure their systems are just like, they have like parasites. They have like gut parasites and lasting gut disorders from living in the Rock of Love house.
So it's just down to Heather and Jess, and Heather's laissez-faire attitude has backfired because
she's dismissed.
He dismisses her and he's going to fuck Jess. And Brandy and Heather's so pissed.
But she takes act all cool about it.
But she's like, "It's all good. Have she's a great like, night.
It's great.
All good." And then she has a waiter come over and like demands that he like put all her food in boxes. And then she takes like 3 to-go boxes and goes back to, and I was like, "Hey, that's what I would do."
That's a boss bitch move, because my first thought when he dismissed her, I was like, "What the fuck? Like, she hasn't even gotten to eat dinner yet. Like, what's she going to do with all the shrimp?"
Yeah.
And then she bossed
it. She takes
it.
Their steaks.
Yeah, she goes, "And I want half of that, and I'm going to split that in half." So she's nice enough to leave some for Brett and Jess, but she's going to get her due. And honestly, if a surf and turf were on the line, you better bet that I'd be boxing that shit up and taking it back.
Me
to my
too.
Room.
And like, if I was still drinking, I'd take like 3 bottles of wine and that shit and just black out and eat my food. My
God, that would be
alone.
The best too, because old dirty Lacey's in bed somewhere, passed out. And so then you
Brandy's
could just,
asleep.
Brandy's asleep. You could literally, I would turn old dirty foot. I would open all the windows, get cozy in a bathrobe in bed, lay out all the food on my bed and turn on TV and just have a party of fucking one on the bed with some surf and turf.
Open all the windows, the red rock, the
look
air,
out into the beautiful, the strip the 18 miles
the strip.
Away.
The strip is
like, look at those twinkling lights in the distance.
The strip is so far away, you have to look through like a telescope. It looks like you're looking out at like when you're, oh my god, it's like when you're in Malibu and you look out and you look over.
And you see like LA in the distance. Yeah, that's how far away it is. I'd also drag, if Lacey was in the bed and we had to share a bed, I would actually drag her to the couch and leave her there.
She did.
Oh, good. Yeah, I would not let her in the room.
She would like, she did. I think she did sleep on the couch.
I would lock her out of the bedroom and make sure she had like a bucket next to her, but that she would not be allowed in. And then I would have a full blown solo slumber party in the Red Rock Inn.
What if we just saw Magdalena walk by?
Hey. Sure.
you want to meet some surf and turf, Mags? Sure. I just... and then Brett and Jess are like out in his like private balcony looking out, and they
looking
just start like...
Dust. Yeah. Looking out on the strip in the distance. And then I guess they just bone.
Yeah.
And he goes, "Jess and I got to know each other inside and out."
Mm-hmm.
Ew.
Gross.
Brett's dick probably just looks like Brett's head.
Oh. Yeah. His
you
dick
know what
looks
I mean?
Like. Yeah.
Like, I imagine his dick has a face on it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Looks like. It's also like 9 p.m.
I love calling it a night. Then what do you do after that? That would not be a sexy, like, for me to get turned on and, like, have sex with a stranger or someone that's essentially a stranger that I don't know that well, like, I would want to have, like, some nice dinner, like, good conversation and, like, a lot of laughs and have, like, a lot of mental foreplay that was going on before, like, the actual foreplay existed. Like, if two different women vomited, one in a napkin and one on the floor, and the room smells like shrimp, and, like, there was another woman that you just sent away, and then I come back after, and then half the shrimp is missing and the steak is cold, that doesn't make me want to fuck someone. Also, the Red Rock Inn is not, like, that also isn't sexy to me, but it's a Jetson room. And it's a telescope. Where is it? I know it's around here somewhere. The strip, looking for the strip.
If you squint really hard and look, close your right eye, you can see it. You can
see the twinkling lights of Paris, Paris, 18 miles in the distance.
I don't know why that's really funny.
It's insane. This hotel is insane to me. Where is it? Brett's like, I love it here.
Why couldn't they have gone to the strip? I guess he couldn't. Probably wasn't.
I don't think tickets are selling as well as they used to. I think we learned all we needed to know when we found out the concert's at 3 p.m. on, like, a Wednesday. Where is it? That's what I forgot when Heather went back to her room with her surf and turf, when I'm, like, thinking of her solo party, like, flinging the, I imagine, like, flinging the curtains open and seeing, like, the bright twinkling lights all around, but really it's just flinging the curtains open and there's darkness and maybe a twinkling light in the distance if you squint hard enough.
Yeah, like, she can't even, like, go walk down to the strip.
No.
Or, like, they're go to her wherever off. She works.
Yeah, she's and say Vegas. Hi to the girls, yeah.
Go home, go visit her friends. Like, I would just, like, go see my friends.
Or tell them to, like, come over. But yeah, she's like, hey, come over. And they're like, okay, where are you staying? Like, are you in the strip? And she's like, I'm at the Red Rock Hotel.
And they're like, oh, girl, I'm not going there.
No, we're not. Next time. We'll see you when you're back. Next time. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see you when you get back in, like, a week.
Yeah. Call us then. Love you so much.
I'm not going to the fucking Red Rock.
No one's going there.
The
next day.
He sends Jess home. He's like, so I'm going to actually send you home now. I'm going to hang out with the other girls. So you're going to have a car take you back to Vegas and go hang poolside. And she's like, okay.
That's a horrible fate.
Yeah. You're sent back to, like,
the dirty house. Go hang poolside. Like,
also, like, way to make her feel like a real one night stand.
I know. Like a cherished, right. Your cherished woman you care about so much. You're like, I got to get you out of here. Tour life.
So she leaves. The rest of the girls are going to hang with Brett for the day. And then, like, two more are going to stay and one's going to go home.
So Brandy and Lacey are Vanderpump level hungover. And we find out that there's shrimp still in the room. Someone goes, will someone get these shrimp out of here? They're Brandy haunted by crustaceans.
Heather slept with, like, a plate of shrimp.
Yeah, passed out with the shrimp in the bed.
Brandy, I just wrote Brandy, the queen of spin. She just says Brett's not for her, and she knows in her heart that she's just like, last night was insane. I have to get out of here.
Also, I think that Brandy's still drunk from the night before, but also, like, drunk hungover, where when you're that hungover, you just want to, like, torch everything.
Yeah, you do.
Like, your whole life is, like, fucking burnt ground. Like, everything is torched. You're ready to fucking go. Like, you can't. Blow torch. It's like, it's nothing is worth dealing with. Yeah, and it's like, I can't, like, hang out with people. Like, I actually can't even think of a sentence to say. Like, all I can think is, like, this is so wrong. It's not the one for me. Like, it's whatever, and I gotta go.
Yeah. So they go down to the pool, and I guess they've like closed the pool down at the Red Rock, and they're going to do like a day of massages and like spa treatments and all this stuff for the ladies and Brett. And they just, I kind of like glossed over this whole part because I was just like, they just, he has individual massages with them. They talk. Brandy ends up being
obsessed with Brandy's hangover because I've been there before with that kind of hangover where like she couldn't even like put on a cute outfit to like be on camera and go downstairs.
No,
like,
she was.
It's fucking. She is. It's done. Like it's like
it's nihilistic.
You've like given up, and it's not even a personal thing. It's just like it cannot happen today.
When you're that hungover, it's pure nihilism, and you're just like, the world must be destroyed, and it's I must be the destroyer of worlds.
It's like you just are like it's done, it's over, and like she's in like a sweatpants and like just like a true what the hell look on her face. It's cute.
She wins Brett over, and she's like, I really. Like, last night was not good, obviously, but, like, I really, like, she completely flips her position, and she's like, I really want to be here, and, like, I really want to give this a shot.
Mm-hmm.
And Brett's like, oh, rad, okay, cool.
And so he's
and
down.
Then he mentions that to Heather and Lacey, and Heather's like, they come back out of the pool, and Heather hears Brett explain that Brandy's just, like, all in for him. And Brandy joins them, and Heather goes, oh, wow, did you tell Brett about what you were talking to us about telling him this morning? Like, total power move.
Mm-hmm. And Brandy goes, yeah. She's still young enough where she could bounce back from the hangover after a massage. Like, it's like you eat a breakfast sandwich, you have a little bit of water, you get a massage and a little bit of male attention, and then you're like, wait, I'm fucking back in the game. Like, let's fucking rock.
Yeah, let's party.
And so then she's back in and ready to open her heart up. And then Heather tries to dom. And then Brandy's like, yeah, totally. And then Heather has a much better approach to hanging with Brett than like Lacey does. Like, she's like, I want to tell him like what Brandy said, but I honestly like don't want my time with him to be about that. Like, I'd rather just like have fun. Which is like, that's how you should be. Like, you don't like once Lacey goes in the tent and she starts hanging out with Brett. Like, I literally felt like I was getting a migraine. I was like, this woman is such an energy vampire. Like, she sucks all the life out of you just like talking shit about someone else. And it's just, it's stressful, anxiety inducing. It's not sexy and it's not fun. And
Brett at one point says, like, he's like, well, you know, Lacey, you're a little malicious. And Lacey just goes, right. I was just like, damn, I wouldn't want to date someone who says I'm malicious.
I also wouldn't want to date someone who I think is malicious.
No, I know. It's just, I'm like, why?
If I was like having to temper something my date was saying by being like, well, I do have to keep my eye on you because you're pretty malicious.
He's like, actually, like, I don't know if you're going to like kill me in my sleep.
Yeah. Or like take out my family. Like, what the fuck? Like,
kidnap my daughter, drive to Mexico. Still? Yeah.
Yeah.
So he tells Brandy to go back to LA.
That's actually when the hangover comes raging back, is once you get on that bumpy bus back to LA for 5 hours.
Oh, man.
That is not a fun. Also, it's like, so you're going to send her back to L.A. that night and she's going to go hang with Jess, who you also fucked but sent back to L.A.?
Yeah.
It's a loser's journey.
It is.
I don't like it.
So Lacey and Heather are there to have like another intimate night with Brett. And they just like, they have dinner together.
Sex trafficking ring that VH1 has created under the guise of a reality show.
Exactly. And Lacey starts to try to like win Brett back over with like tears. And she starts talking about like her mom dying, and when she says that, Heather goes, I don't think you should talk about that. Like, Heather's just kind of like, Heather just wants to party,
And have a fun sexy time, because Heather knows talking about your parents dying is really gonna bring down the sexy mood.
And Brett says, he goes, I don't do good with manic depressive inner battles. And I was just like,
he knows himself. Lacey also, when her and Heather were walking out to like meet Brett for dinner, Lacey is limping on her way to dinner. I was just
like, sprained her foot.
You've got, yeah, it's like leftover sprain from the football game. But like, if you find yourself in Vegas at the Red Rock Hotel limping to dinner with an aged rock star, like things have gone off track and it's time to throw in the towel.
I actually don't think Brett's like that happy with these final girls.
No, I think Brett has realized that he's actually not going to find love in the house.
I think he's just like, I think Jess is like his saving grace, but I think he's like, how did I get here?
Yeah, he just had the shittiest show of his life, probably, where he has had to come to terms with the fact that like once was on top of the world as like the front man of Poison and had women just like lining up to like fuck his brains out and like opening arenas and like living that tour life, and that he is just like come face to face with the fact that like now he can only do like 3 p.m. concerts for 100 volunteers at the Red Rock Hotel.
Yeah,
and like
it has like a limping person
and like limping Jigsaw is about to join him for dinner. Like things are dire for all.
Yeah, so Lacey like kind of wins Brett over a little bit but he's also like, I'm just really wary of you because I think you're like actually crazy.
Also, it's like, then why is this person still around, you big old idiot?
Yeah,
Brett is nervous about Heather breaking his heart. And we find out that years ago, he dated another dancer and fell in love with her and she broke his heart, which then spawned his hit song, Every Rose Has Its Thorn.
He said pole emotions.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, you have just what I like to call pole emotions. I was like, ugh.
Ew. Where you just want to get her off the pole and onto your, he's like, I want to get her off the pole and onto my pole. And I was like,
he's disgusting.
You fucking pig.
He's a pig man.
He's a pig man.
Fucking pig.
And Heather's just like having to qualify herself against Lacey, who Brett outwardly says, like, I don't trust you and I think you're like manipulative. Like, that's fucked up to do to the person who is actually there for you. And you're like, why am I like going to bat? Like, why am I having to defend myself when this is the other choice?
When like Polly Perrette over here is like,
yeah, when a literal demon emoji is my competition. And like, you're literally like telling this person you don't trust them. And I'm sitting here saying like, I'd ride or die for you. I'm so loyal and I'm here for you. And I basically like love you and we're soulmates.
And I have a tattoo of your name on my neck.
Oh yeah. And I just tattooed your name on the back of my neck. And you're like,
That Heather isn't the front runner right now is wild to me.
It's wild. And I think Brett is actually taking out his emotions of being scorned by this other dancer on Heather and making her pay for the heartbreak he felt years ago. And it's not fair and it's fucked up. Team Heather for life.
So they get back. So they leave Vegas.
When he talks about depression and he's like saying how he can't deal with manic depressives and he goes, suddenly I start to become their depression. And I was like, way to make it about you.
I know. That's just so typical, like famous person.
Yeah. Then Brett says, oh, he chooses Lacey. He once again leaves Heather alone to dine solo, which is actually like a great best case scenario for her.
Yeah, she got two free nights of like food to herself and drinks. Yeah.
He said something when they were like getting massages, like I think they've bonded over their mutual love for food, because he's like, there's lots of good food that we'll get to eat together. And I was like, that's actually like romantic and what I look for in a mate.
Yeah.
It's like binge eating.
I think Lacey was like, he had to see it through
physically.
He wanted to have sex with her because he was like, I think he was so like, had that like, she's crazy, she must be into crazy shit kind of stuff. Like, he had to like see for himself.
And he goes, you have really good energy.
What?
Are we seeing the same person?
I think Heather was like the audience just being like, what the fuck?
Yeah, Heather was unclear too, and then resigned
she
herself.
Fell off a bar last night.
Yeah, she threatened everyone. Literally, one by one,
hang themselves.
Everyone has come to you and said, "We hate this woman. We don't trust her. She makes us feel bad. She causes chaos wherever she goes." And Brett's like, "Great energy."
And she spends the night with Bradley.
I'm out. Yeah. Also,
the next morning, Lacey's like, "It was such a great night."
He pulls her into his room, like on his like round bed of sin. And I couldn't stop thinking, like, you just fucked Jess in the same bed, like not even 24 hours ago. And now, like, I don't believe that the bed has even been cleaned because there's bottles and trash on the nightstand still. Yeah. Like, that's not how I want to be, like, seduced. Wooed. Yeah.
Hashtag seduced.
Ew.
So the elimination night is, it's going to be a toss up.
It's upon them.
So obviously Jess gets picked.
Yeah, she gets the first pass.
And Brett's like, it's this other girl. She's like, I know everyone has their opinion about her, but there's just something about her that I really like and I can't help it. So Lacey, come on down and get your VIP pass.
Barf. Everyone should have quit the show in protest at this point.
Me too.
And walked off.
And he starts talking about Brandy. He's like, you know, Brandy, when I held your hair after you threw up and you told me that amazing thing, he's like, I was so moved and I felt so connected by you. And Heather just snaps.
Yeah.
And she goes, you literally said she didn't want to be here anymore and that you weren't the guy for her.
And Brandy's just like,
and Brett's like, well, I'm really confused right now because, you know, like
what?
Brett can't, he can't even. Bad gig.
He's been on an emotional roller coaster of his own. Yeah. Bad gig, like, followed by like demon sex with Lacey. Like, it's just like his brain is wiped out.
He's like, what?
What? And then Brandy dismisses herself. She's like, actually, I can't do it. Like, I think she realizes in that moment it's better to just dismiss yourself than get dismissed. So she's like, yeah, I can't actually do it. Like, I can't open my heart. I gotta go. Heart's closed, so not opening.
And then Brett gets so angry.
He gets pissed.
He's like really, he gets like mean.
Yeah, and he looks like Donald Trump in this moment.
He does. He's like, I feel kind of like betrayed. Like, he just goes, he can't handle that at all. And she's like, can I at least give you a hug? And he's like, yeah. And then as she's walking away, he goes, have a great life.
Yeah. It was so weird. And he kind of gaslights her, and then she ends up apologizing to him.
Yeah, of course.
I know, but I was just Brandy, you did the right thing.
And then he's like, Heather, want to come down and get your VIP pass? Like,
so was he going to eliminate Heather?
I think he was.
That's fucked.
And Heather's like, yeah, sure. And I would have been like, the real crazy, shocking move in this show, if I was playing it, was I would have quit too.
Yeah. Been like, I'm not your second
Heather and Jess. Yeah. But no, she goes along with it. And Brett says something like, he hints like, you don't want to see me mad.
Ew.
Or so, I was like, oh, gross. Everyone needs to leave now.
Yeah.
Set that house on fire.
That's the only way that Lacey could get back in like my good graces is if she just torched the house down. And then her and Heather and Jess ran out holding hands and triple kissed and then like drove off into the night. Stole a car and just like fucking hit the road. Drove back to Vegas like Nomi Malone style.
Mm-hmm.
And Heather takes off her top and goes, woo! And throws it in the air and it lands on the road.
And Lacey and Jess are like, we live in Chicago. And she's like, not anymore.
Not anymore, you don't. Has there ever been a reality show where everyone quit?
The first of the month. She makes them live with her.
They're forced to live with Heather. They're not even forced to strip, just hang out with her.
There was that Bachelor season when the girl, when it got down to like the final six and one girl was like, I can't live in Scottsdale. I have to leave. She's like, I can't live in Arizona.
Fair.
And he's And he's just like, all right. And she leaves. She like lives in, she's like studying at NYU and she lives in New York. And she's like, I can't like fathom Arizona. So I have to leave. And he's like, all right. And he was like going to pick her, I think.
I want everyone to quit.
Well, now it's the final three, baby. So you got to lock and load, girlies.
Yeah. You
get on in or get on out. You got to get in that tour bus or hit the road.
You got to put your hat on.
Yeah, you put your hat because some people would have loved to wear their hat. Can you imagine rodeo in Vegas?
I wish they should have kept her into the final.
Man, Vegas wouldn't have known when to hit him.
No. The Red Rock Hotel.
Vegas. I think I said M, like M. Well.
So ends another beautiful ep.
Love all the readers. Love the girls readers. Of ROL. Don't love Brett.
Hate Brett.
Everyone stay safe. COVID is going wild again, so please keep yourself safe.
COVID's wearing its hat.
COVID's wearing its hat. COVID's going LA style across America right
COVID
now.
COVID has gone full LA style. The second spike is why COVID wears its hat.
It's why I wear my hat.
It's why I wear my mask. Stay safe out there. Stay smart out there. The
Patreon at
sexyuniquepodcast@gmail.com. And then also, if you want to join Patreon, you absolutely should. You get so much bonus content. Seasons, recaps of seasons 1 and 2 of Vanderpump Rules. There's every episode of Pumped Podcast, the podcast that started off my podcast career. There's just a wealth of opportunity. And it's only $5 a month. So it's a great deal.
Only $5. Wow.
Wow.
Everyone just stay safe, stay loved, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered, mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine? That's where Canopy's new filtered showerhead comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered showerhead. Dermatologists recommended this unique 3-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin. Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free. Installation is a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement, unlike any others on the market. Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, our listeners can use the code SEXYUNIQUE at checkout to save an additional 10% off their Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real, frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.